will be our text, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matt Cyrus is looking forward to that ice cream fellowship. I think she's the one that instigated all this, so y'all get your churns ready. We're going to have a good time one night. When did we say that was? On the 6th, was it? 10th, okay. On the 10th, so we'll have a good time together eating ice cream and just getting fat as pigs, amen? Do they have what they call sugar-free ice cream? They do, don't they?
Yeah.
Don't you pity those people who have to eat that stuff? No, I've had some of it. It's pretty good. I have had some. And anyway, we'll have a good time. By the way, I want you to understand that there is an overall rule that takes place that any eating done at church is not fattening. There are no calories to it whatsoever. And you just pig out all that you want to, okay? And I just told the lying church, didn't I? But aren't you looking forward to heaven? Go to heaven. You don't have to worry about, you know, gaining weight and sugar and all that type stuff. I'm looking forward to that day. Monty was talking about those donuts at Krispy Kreme, got all that chocolate on it, been eclipsed, you know, it's for the eclipse. We could eat that stuff and it wouldn't bother us. We could eat a whole box full and lose 5 pounds. Amen. So we're looking forward to that. All right, you've had time to find the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to talk tonight about what is God like? What is God like? And here's the verse. After this manner, Jesus said, therefore you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now you recognize that as the beginning of what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is more appropriately called the model prayer. But he says, when you pray, pray our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, that's our question tonight, that we're going to consider, what is God like? And ladies and gentlemen, that's an important question, because you can't relate to God if you don't understand what he's really like. And not only that, the way you relate to other people is influenced by the way that you relate to God. And so it's very important that you get an accurate understanding of what God is really like. Now, if I were to ask you to imagine God tonight, what would you imagine? Back 100 years ago when I was a youth director, I did this sometimes with our young people. And I'd ask them to sketch drawings or whatever to show what they thought God was like. But I'm just going to ask you, you know, what do you think God is like? What in your imagination would you come up with? Do you remember the Star Wars movies? You know, there was one came out, was it last year? And Iris and I went to see that. And some people imagine God like the Force in those Star Wars movies. You know, may the Force be with you, that impersonal Force. That's what some people think about when they think about God. Have you ever noticed on television that sometimes God is portrayed kind of like thunder, and he always has this deep bass voice, you know, thus saith the Lord. I mean, God never says, hello, you know, he's always that deep voice, see? He always has this deep voice, and some people imagine God as an impersonal force. And then some imagine him as an old crotchety grandfather. You know, he kind of waves a cane at you, and he's toothless. He's friendly, but he's feeble and weak. He's absolutely impotent. He couldn't harm a fly. You know, he just kind of tells you what to do, but you don't really have to pay him any attention if you don't want to. And then some people imagine God as an irate judge. He's sitting up there in heaven. He's condemning people to hell and loving every minute of it. Ah, ha, ha, there's another one frying in hell, you know. So some people have that idea about God. You know, when Jesus came to earth, he exploded all of the stereotypes about God. He came to show us what God is like. And in the Lord's Prayer, he defined God in just two words, Matthew 6, 9. Our Father. I heard about a little boy who was ready to pray at mealtime, and he said, Mama, tonight I want to talk to Harold. And his mama said, Harold, who's Harold? And the little boy said, he's God. The Bible says, our Father in heaven, Harold be your name. Well, God is defined in two simple words down here, our Father, and that's it. God wants us to think about Him as a Father. Now, that was such a radical idea, even in Jesus' day. In Matthew 6, where Jesus gives the Lord's Prayer, I think He uses the name Father 10 times when He's referring to God. That's more times in that one chapter than all the Old Testament put together. And that was just a new concept about God in the Bible. God is like our Father, like a Father. You know, our preference for titles reveal what we like people to think about us. You know, what do you want to be called? Do you like for people to get your name right? I remember the first time in my life, I think I might have mentioned this a few weeks ago, first time in my life, somebody got my name wrong. I was at Vacation Bible School in the old Francis Memorial Baptist Church in Anderson. I was about 5 years old. And the whole week long, they called me Malcolm. Malcolm. Glad to have you, Malcolm. Good to see you, Malcolm. Look at little Malcolm. I hated that name. I still hate that name. If that's your name, listen, if that's your name, I'm sorry. Don't come up to me after the service. I can't help it. It warped my psyche when I was a little boy being called Malcolm, see? Well, since I am a minister, people sometimes ask me what they should call me, and they say, can we call you Reverend? And I can say, well, you can call me Ray or you can call me Jay, but don't call me Reverend. By the way, Jesus said there's only one Reverend, that's God the Father, see? And God says we don't have to call Him High Potentate. You can call Him Father. God wants us to know Him as our Father. Now, what does that say? Well, it says that God is a person, not simply a power. He's a person, and I like that because I can relate to a person. I can love a person. I can understand a person. I can get to know a person, but I can't understand a power. God is a person. He wants us to call Him Father. But now, even as I say that, I know this, that with some people, that brings up a problem. For some people, when I say God is a Father, that's a problem. The problem is that that name Father does not bring forth good memories for a lot of people. I've got a preacher friend of mine who's like that. He didn't have a good relationship with his father. His father was an alcoholic. He was absolutely unmerciful to his family when he was growing up. And my friend grew up like that, and I know there are a lot of people, when I say God is a Father, that stirs up memories of an unhappy childhood. It arouses fear and anger and guilt and frustration. Because, you see, some fathers make their homes a hell on earth. They are selfish, and they're demanding, and they are neglectful of their children. They're impulsive. They're inconsistent. They're moody. And so a little child goes to Sunday school. Now, think about this. A little child goes to Sunday school, and he goes home and disobeys his mother, and she says, "You just wait until your father comes home, boy. Are you going to get it?" But then at Sunday school, the teacher says, "Now, boys and girls, God is like your Father." Now, little children are not dumb. And little children can put two and two together, and they think if God's like their daddy, no thank you, I don't want to have anything to do with God whatsoever. So Jesus clarified this thing. Now, look at Matthew 6, 9. He clarified this for us. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven." Now, folks, He's not just talking here about some location. And He's not here giving you God's address. The fact is that God is everywhere. He's in heaven. He's on earth. I mean, He's everywhere. If you are a believer, He's in your heart. He cannot be confined by anything. He's everywhere. So what does Jesus mean when He says God is our heavenly Father? Well, He's saying that in heaven things are perfect. On earth they're not perfect. In heaven, they are perfect. So, unlike your earthly father who is imperfect, your heavenly Father is a perfect Father. All right, with that in mind then, I want to ask this question. What is God really like? This evening, I want to give you 4 adjectives that describe God. Very simple outline, but you may want to jot these down. What kind of Father is God? Number 1, God is a caring Father. He's a caring Father. That's his most outstanding quality. Every child needs to know that he's loved and cared for. Psalms 133, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who honor him, for he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. In other words, God knows our makeup. He knows that we're frail. He knows that we make mistakes. He understands that we're human, that we're not perfect, but he still loves us because God is a caring Father. Now, over there in Mark chapter 4, you read the story about the disciples. You remember that story? They were out in the boat, and a storm came up, and water started to sink the boat. And the Bible says Jesus was sleeping in the back, and the disciples woke Jesus up, and they asked him an important question. This is what they said: Jesus, don't you care that we're drowning? Maybe you have felt like that in your life. Maybe you've gone through something in your life and you've wondered, doesn't God care? And God says, yes, I do care. I am a caring Father. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Peter 5:7. I am a chronic worrier. And so I use this verse quite often. The Bible says, cast all your worry, your anxiety on Him, talking about God, because He cares for you. Now let's put that right down where we live. Preacher Mike, does God care about my house payment? Does God care about my health? Does God care about whether or not I'm a success in what I'm doing or a failure in life? Does God care about my children and grandchildren and the education they get? Does God care about whether or not I ever get married? Does God care about the argument I've just had with my boyfriend? Does God care about how I feel this evening? God says to every one of those, yep, I care, and He cares because He's a caring Father. Now, back over here in Matthew 6, same chapter, verses 31 and 32, the Bible says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we put on? Your Father, your Heavenly Father, knows what you need, that you need these things. And in the next verse it says, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. All right, what is God saying? Folks, the Bible indicates that God is interested in everything about your life. And that's incredible that I don't think that sinks in with a lot of us. I mean, God is a caring God. He's concerned about every detail of our lives. Psalms 35:27 says, the Lord delights in the well-being of His servants. Why? Because He's a caring Father. Now, I don't know how you were raised, and I don't know what's in your background. And I don't know what you're going through with life, but you ought to right now just jot it down in your mind, your heart, and your soul. That's the first thing you need to understand about God. He is your Heavenly Father, and He is a caring Father as a result of that. But now let me give you a second thing about God. A second adjective down here. Not only is God a caring Father, but God is a consistent Father. In other words, He can be counted on. In other words, He is dependable. He is reliable. He is worthy of your trust. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who does not change like shifting shadows. And notice that phrase, He does not change. Now, I've seen a lot of fathers in my time. Some are not predictable. Some are not reliable. Some are fickle. They're always changing. I used to talk to young people, and some of them would say, they'd say, Mike, I just can't figure my dad out. He's always changing. One minute he's nice, another minute he's a bear. One minute he's silent, next minute he's violent. I mean, he's unreliable. He's always changing. One minute he's tough on me, next minute he's easy on me. It just depends on the mood he's in. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, inconsistent fathers produce insecure children. Now, you can write that down. Inconsistent fathers produce insecure children. But the Bible says that God is not like that. God is not only a caring Father, He is a consistent Father. Now what I'm saying is that God never has a bad day. Any of you daddies ever have a bad day? Well, sometimes I have a bad day. You know, God does not wake up grumpy. You've heard that old story. Yeah. Guy went to the doctor, having a little trouble, and the doctor said, well, I've been checking you out, you know, and I want to know about your sleep. When you wake up in the morning, do you wake up grumpy? He said, no, I let her sleep another hour. You've heard that. He's not grumpy. He's not moody. He doesn't get up on the wrong side of bed. He's consistent and faithful. He doesn't have mood swings, you know, one way one moment, another way another moment. He is a consistent father. You can count on that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says, if we are faithless, this is a great verse, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now that's a great verse. Even when I'm unfaithful, God is faithful. Even when I'm inconsistent, God is consistent. Even when I'm unreliable, God is reliable. Every time. And while everything else in the world is changing, and I tell you what, this is a changing world. And everything's changing. While everything is changing, there is one thing I can count on. God always acts the same way toward me. He's loving, he's consistent regardless of my mood. He loves me just as much on my bad days as on my good days. God is consistent, see. He's a caring father. Malachi 3:6, God says, I, the Lord, do not change. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. He is consistent all the time. You know what a major problem is between children and parents today? Do you know why more children rebel more than any other reason? A major reason is because parents are inconsistent and they break promises. Yeah, honey? One day I'll sit down and play dolls with you. Yeah, one day we'll go fishing. One day I'll take some time off and we'll go on vacation. I promise. The only problem is one of those days never comes. And kids get their feelings hurt who have promises broken to them. But now God is consistent. Listen to Psalms chapter 18, verse 30. What a God he is, how perfect in every way all his promises prove true. Now let me tell you what, folks, if God says it, you can count on it, you can stake your life on it. I read here years ago there was a bumper sticker that come out and people would buy this bumper sticker and put it on their cars. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And we thought that was a cute bumper sticker. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But you know what? That's not true. God said it. That settles it. Doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. See? And God, if he says it, he's going to do it. He is a caring God. He is a consistent God. He is always a faithful God. So God, number one, is what? Caring. Number two is what? Consistent. Number three, what? You don't know that one, do you? All right, let me give you this one. Number three, God is a close father. He's a caring father, a consistent father, a close father. In other words, God can be counted on. He's nearby when you need him. He's always available. He is accessible. He is not far away. You get on the phone tomorrow and you try your best to call the White House to talk to the president. I'm going to make a prediction. You ain't getting through, okay? But you know what? You can call somewhere higher than the White House. You can get through every time. See? Acts 17. Paul preaches a sermon to the people in Athens. And he says that God does not live in a temple or in a little house. That way he would be confined. But God chooses rather to live all around the world. God is everywhere. I mean, even more than Santa Claus. You know the old song, he's everywhere, he's everywhere. Well, God is everywhere, see? Why? Why is God everywhere? Well, Acts 17:27 says, God did this so people would reach out for him and find him since he's not far from each one of us. I mean, God says he's close, he's available, he is accessible. You know, a lot of children grow up today with absentee fathers. Their fathers are never around. They're too busy. They're always gone. They're never around for the important dates. I know when I was pastor of a church and my kids were small, I always had real tension about this. There'd be something planned at the church and the kids would have something. And you know who lost every time? The church. Because, see, my kids were my first priority. And, see, you know, a lot of daddies are not there for their kids. And when they're home, they really aren't there. They're detached, reading the newspaper, watching television, studying, working on a business plan. They're not really there. Maybe they're there physically, but not emotionally. They are distant from their children.
But now let me give you three encouraging facts to remember about the closeness of God. You may want to jot these down. Three encouraging things about the closeness of God. Number one, God is never too busy for us. Never. Psalms 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. The Lord is never too busy to talk to me. When I come and pray to God, He never says, not now, I'm busy. I mean, I wanted to say that sometime. Not now, I'm busy. God never says that. He never says, not now. He's never too busy. God is never too busy for me. Number two, God loves to meet our needs. He is not annoyed by our request. Over there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Now, it says there that if you, as an imperfect father, know how to give good gifts to your children, then certainly God knows even more how to do that. Now, I've always thought that was a wonderful thing. Let me ask you a question. You want the best for your children? Of course you do. I want the best for my children. I want the best for my grandchildren. If I'm like that as an imperfect father, full of mistakes and sin, don't you think God, who is a perfect father, knows how to give good gifts to us? You see, God is a caring God. God is a consistent God. And God is a close God. He's never too busy for any of us. Sometimes I think some of us believe God is up there, you know, and you know, He's at a switchboard and it's jammed from all, you know, everybody's praying all at one time. And God is saying, sorry, all lines are busy at this time. You ever got on your cell phone trying to make a phone call? Maybe I'm the only one this happens, you know, happens to. And I'll dial it in and they'll say something about all circuits are busy. That's what I want to do, you know. I don't do that because that'd be another $600 that I have to pay out for a phone. But God's never that way. You know, when you pray, all circuits are not busy, see? God is there to listen to us. God has no problem processing everybody's prayer request at the same time, and He loves to meet our needs. And then number three, God is sympathetic to our hurts. When we hurt, God sympathizes with us. Now here's a verse I've worn out. Psalms 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Good friend of mine was going through a terrible time. He was having a lot of emotional problems and things going on in his life. And he found that verse, and that verse right there delivered him. I love that verse. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, that says to me that when I hurt, God hurts. When you hurt, God hurts, because He's a caring Father. He's a consistent Father. He is a close Father. You know, some of you might have come dragging in here tonight and you've had some kind of hurt this week. Maybe you had a bad experience at work or at school, or you had a major fight with your spouse or your boyfriend, or your children are just going off in different directions. And right now you're hurting and you feel like the psalmist talked about. Your spirit is crushed. And the Bible says that the Lord is close. You're never closer to God than when you're in pain. He's always there every time. If you may not think you feel Him, but He is there. Every time He's there. You say, well, I don't want to bother God with my problems. I find some of these sanctimonious saints and they'll say, well, Preacher Mike, I don't want to bother God with my problems. Well, I tell you what. He wants you to come to Him with your needs, because He's a caring Father, He's consistent, and He's close. And I never have any problem praying and telling Him all about my trouble all along the way. All right, here's a little pop quiz. Number one, God is what kind of Father? Caring Father. Number two, He is a consistent Father. Number three, He is a close Father. Then number four, and we'll go home. God is a capable Father. That means that God can handle any situation that you give Him. He's not overcome by it. No problem is too tough for Him. Nothing is beyond His ability. But the first thing you have to do is you have to bring Him your problem. You got to bring Him your problem. You know, Jesus spoke not only Hebrew, but He spoke Aramaic. That was the language they spoke in Palestine in New Testament times. And in Aramaic, the word Father is the word Abba. Abba. That word Abba is the most endearing term you can use. It literally means daddy. It means papa. It's the first words that a baby learns. Abba. Dada. See. We've had a lot of fun with little Emma back there. She's doing good tonight. Her grandmama hadn't taken her out yet. And little Emma is starting to say words and things like this. The best word she's come up with so far is pop. That's a smart youngin'. I'm telling you, she's brilliant. But you know, it is good. I remember when my kids were small and I'd come into the house after a long day's work and my kids would fall down in front of me and they'd say, "Oh, mighty procreator, awesome ruler of our home, thou who doest sovereignly and divinely proportion unto us our allowance." That's not what they'd say. They'd say something much better than that. They'd come running up to me and they'd say, "Daddy." That's the best thing you can hear. "Daddy." Nothing like hearing your children greet you with those words, "Daddy," or you hear your grandchildren, "Pop." That's the way God wants us to relate to Him. And He is capable. Listen to Luke 1:37. "For nothing is impossible with God." Now let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Just answer in your mind. How many of you believe that verse? "For nothing is impossible with God." I bet you everybody in here is thinking, "I agree with that verse." All right, let me ask you another question. What's the tough decision you're facing this week? What's the mountain in your life that needs to be moved? What's the thing that you worry about? Cancer? Somebody moved out of your life and you need them to move back in? Financial problems? Children having problems? You can't break a bad habit? What did we just say? We worry about that? Yeah, preacher, I believe the verse, but do we really? "For nothing is impossible with God." Listen to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" That's a rhetorical question, meaning the answer is already there. No, nothing is too hard for God. I mean, that verse is almost like God is laying down the gauntlet and He's saying, "I dare you. Try to think up a problem that I can't solve. Is anything too hard for me?" No, God is a capable Father. You know, when most of us grew up, we said something like this: "Daddy can do anything. My daddy can beat up your daddy. My daddy can do anything." And when we were small, we really believed that, didn't we? And then as we began to grow up, our eyes were opened. And as I grew up, I realized that my dad had limited resources where money was concerned. And when it came to advice, I gradually realized that sometimes he was just guessing like I was. I mean, his guess was as good as mine, mine is his. But the Bible says that God is the Heavenly Father. He is perfect. He is capable to meet our needs. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 3:20. "God is able to do far more than we ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes." Now, I don't know about you, but I can dream up some pretty big dreams. I can set up some really high goals. And God says, "You think up the biggest thing you can possibly think of in life, and I can beat that." Far beyond our highest prayers. Far beyond our highest desires and thoughts and hopes. Why? Because the Bible says He is a capable Father. Now, what can I expect from my Father in heaven? Well, turn over there to Philippians chapter 4. Let me show you this verse and we'll close and go home. Philippians chapter 4, what can we expect from God our Father in heaven? Philippians chapter 4, look down at verse 19. Do you believe this verse? "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." In other words, God has unlimited resources, unlimited energy, unlimited knowledge, unlimited time, so He can supply all of our needs. Now, in Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer gives us an example of that. The Lord's Prayer says that God, as our Father, provides, get this now, three things. I'm not going to preach the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to give you three things God provides. Number one, found in verse 11. He gives us provision for the day. Give us this day our daily bread. We worry about that a lot of times. I have some friends who are on a fixed income. All they get is a small Social Security check. Sometimes they worry. Taxes and all keep going up, and they say, my income doesn't go up, and they worry. Let me tell you what. The Bible says that as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, God will give us provision for the day. Number two, down in verse 12, God will give us pardon for yesterday. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And then number three, He will give us protection for tomorrow. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, God has all the bases covered. Your past, your present, your future. Maybe in the past you made some mistakes. You can be forgiven. Maybe you're concerned about the present necessities. God can provide those. You're worried about your future. Don't worry about that. God's in control if you let Him. You see, He is a very capable Father. So as we close, the question is this. Is everyone a child of God? Is God everybody's Father? Well, what do you mean by child? If you mean God is everybody's Creator, yes, He is. But as you know, just because you birth somebody does not make you a father. There is more to fathering than just procreation. There must be a relationship. While everybody's created by God, everyone does not have a relationship with Him. So how do you get a relationship with Him? Galatians 3:26 says, for now we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You get a relationship with God the Father through His Son Jesus. And you come to a time in your life when God speaks to your heart and you're willing to turn from your sins and you're willing to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you finally pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and when you do, He saves you just like that. You hear the Word of God. We talked to a lady the other night. Her husband died, and we asked her, she's from Poland, and we asked her how she got saved. She came here to America, and she was living in California, and she said, I started going to this church with some folks, and I heard preaching for 3 years, and finally it came through, and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. You do that by placing your faith in Christ and being willing to turn from your sin. And if you're here tonight and you've never done that and you're willing to trust Christ, if you just bow your heads in a prayer, pray and ask God to forgive your sins and to save you, He'll do just exactly that. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want you to bow your heads with me and close your eyes, and the musicians are going to come and lead us in our invitation hymn. And as we close tonight, as we sing this invitation hymn, I want to give you a moment of time in which you can make a spiritual decision for Christ. You can accept Him into your heart and life as Lord and Savior. If you've already done that, you can recommit your life to this God who is your Father, who loves you, if you need a closer walk with Him. If you're here tonight looking for a church home and God's led you to this place, you can come and move your membership and join this church if God's led you to do that. Or you might be here tonight and you might say, well, Preacher Mike, I don't know about any of that. I'm just so brokenhearted. I just need somebody to pray with me. I'd love to pray with you. Or if you want to kneel around the platform here and pray, you could do that. But in a moment, we'll sing an invitation hymn, and while we sing, if you need to make a spiritual decision for Jesus, I invite you to come and do that in these next few moments. Now, Father, I do thank You so much that You love us, that You care for us, that You are a God who cares, who's consistent, who's close and capable. And Father, I pray, help us to have the right view of God. Help us not to confuse maybe the image we have of an earthly Father with You. Help us to know that You love us. And I pray that as a result of that, we would turn to You and live for You each day, and those who need to be saved would be saved. And we'll thank You, Lord, for all that You do for us in these moments together. And we make our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.